In the first part of the book, he's afflicting the comfortable. He's dealing with people that think Nebuchadnezzar will never destroy the city and the sanctuary. We're going to go right back into the land any moment. But in the latter section of the book, he is comforting the afflicted because they at this point think that God is finished with them because 586 BC, by that time, and Nebuchadnezzar's destruction of the city and the sanctuary had transpired. So that is the big picture of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is very good at giving us dates of different prophecies and events. So this chart here will show you where the different dates appear. Other than the prophecies related to Egypt, the prophecies are primarily in chronological order. Only the prophecies to Egypt are out of chronological order. And Ezekiel is very good at documenting these various dates. Ezekiel is a priest. How do we know that? Because Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3 refers to him as Ezekiel the priest. So if you're a priest, you have an interest in certain things that an average person wouldn't be interested in. Have you ever wondered why Matthew's gospel talks more about monetary sums of money than any other gospel writer? Because he's a tax collector. He talks about the parable of the talents, which is a monetary sum. You know, Matthew is the only gospel that records Jesus and Peter going fishing, and you find a coin in the mouth of the fish and use that to pay the temple tax. Only Matthew's gospel records that. Well, because God used these men under the inspiration of the Spirit, but He also used their unique styles, temperaments, giftings, backgrounds, because those are things from God as well. It's like Luke, you know, Luke gives you all this information. Like when Judas killed himself, his body went over a cliff, and the rocks tore open his body, and his intestines gushed out. And I read that and I say, that's more information than I really wanted to know. Well, Luke is a what? He's a doctor, so those kinds of things are interesting to him. That's why Luke talks more about the prenatal activities of John the Baptist and Jesus than any other gospel writer. Well, if you're a doctor or a physician, you know, you're interested in that. So God is always using these guys who they are, because who they are is also part of God's design, right? So Ezekiel is a priest, so what does Ezekiel talk about? Cherubim, temple, divine glory, what the priests are doing in the temple, the future temple, animal sacrifices. These are all things germane to an interest of a priest. So that's a little bit of background. So let's start here with part 1. Chapters 1 through 24, God's judgment on the surrounding nations. And we come to chapter 1 through 3, and we have Ezekiel's commissioning. And this is where he's commissioned by God to do what he's called to do and what he does in this book. Now, why is this revealed to us? Because the things that Ezekiel is going to say are so harsh in the first part of the book that unless the audience has evidence that Ezekiel is called by God, they're not going to believe a word he says. So he describes his commissioning. Chapter 1 is his vision where he's brought into heaven itself and sees the four living creatures and God's throne. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, he's given his assignment to speak to the rebellious house of the nation of Israel. And then also in chapter 2, verse 8 through chapter 3, verse 11, he is basically begins to consume God's Word. And why is he consuming God's Word? Well, as he consumes it, it tastes like honey. Although these are prophecies of judgment in the first part of the book, they're still sweet because they represent God's Word. And, the Bible says, study and show yourself approved. As a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightfully handles the Word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, you know, before a person can minister for God, they have to absorb truth. And, you know, that's why we have schools, seminaries, and all the different things that we have. And a lot of people don't want to go through that process So they go out in ministry and they have about 3 sermons they could give before they have to keep repeating themselves. So we all, whether it's a formal school or something else, a Bible study, listening to a teacher, whatever God has in your life, there has to be that season where we take in divine truth. Because if we don't take it in, there's really no depth in our ministry. So Ezekiel is personified here as, you know, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he's taking in God's truth. And then in chapter 3, verse 12 through verse 21, he is appointed as a watchman on the wall. And he's told in very strong terms that Ezekiel, you have to tell the people exactly God says what I want you to say. And if you tell them what I said, you've delivered yourself. If you tell them the truth and they won't listen, you've delivered yourself. But if they die in their sin and you've never told them the truth, then I'm coming after you, Ezekiel. And so it's a very high calling that he has. And people say, well, I'm glad that's an Old Testament concept and not a New Testament one. Well, be careful there. James 3 and verse 1 says, let few of you presume to be teachers, knowing that the teacher will incur the stricter judgment. And Paul, in Acts 20, New Testament, verses 26 and 27, says, I am guilty of the blood of all men, because I've declared to you the whole counsel of God's word. He's using imagery, coming right back here to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel's appointment as a watchman on the wall. And then at the end of chapter 3, Ezekiel is given his limitations. He's told to stay in his house. Apparently he had some sort of home or house in Babylon. He's made dumb in the sense that he can't speak unless God tells him to speak. So that's how the exiles know that every time Ezekiel opens his mouth and says something harsh, it's God that miraculously allowed it. Ezekiel doesn't talk unless God allows him to talk. And from there we go to Ezekiel chapters 4 through 11, where we have 4 signs, 2 sermons, and 1 vision. The 4 signs are right there in chapters 4 and 5. First, Ezekiel takes a brick. He draws a picture of Jerusalem on the brick. And he starts laying siege to the brick, which demonstrates that this siege in 586 is going to come, whether the exiles want to acknowledge it or not. Then he lies on his left side for 390 days and on his right side for 40 days. And there he's describing the length of the siege. 390 days for Israel, 40 days for Jerusalem, and those numbers, I think, correspond to the past years of the sins of the nation. And so this is describing the duration of the siege in 586 and how long it's going to last. And then Ezekiel gives a sign about the severity of the siege, and he is told to take some ingredients and to make a meal of these ingredients over a fire that's fueled by animal excrement. And that's all in chapter 4, verses 9 through 17. And you say, well, what is that all about? Well, the animal excrement refers to the moral pollution of the people. And the materials that he's using to cook basically represent the things that are going to become rare once Nebuchadnezzar starts to lay siege to Jerusalem. And then in chapter 5, Ezekiel gets his hair cut. His head is shaved. And he's told to take the hair that's cut off his head and put it into a pile and to divide the pile into thirds. One third of the hair is to be burned. That refers to the famine that the Jerusalemites are going to go through when Nebuchadnezzar comes, a third of the Jerusalemites. Then a second third of the hair he starts chopping with a sword, and that refers to a third of the Jerusalemites dying at the hands of the sword when Nebuchadnezzar comes. And then the final third of the hair he's to scatter, and that's talking about the scattered people outside of the land, a third of them, when Jerusalem comes. And in an encouraging sense, he's told to take a strand of hair, some of the hair, and tuck it away in his belt. indicating that yes, the Israel is going to go through a tough time here, but God is going to keep His promises in the future to them through a remnant.